Right, let's here come the new movies then. Let's talk about Begin Again. You'll hear from Keira Knightley in just a moment. In this section of the movie, she's just sung a song pretty much for the first time in public. And here she is talking to washed-up A&R man Mark Ruffalo.
I'm in.
What?
I want to make records with you. I want to produce you. I want to sign you. We're meant to work together.
Sorry, didn't you see what just happened up there?
Yeah, what? Are you feeling sorry for yourself?
No, I like my music. I mean, who cares if they don't get it, right?
You need to work on your performance a little bit.
Well, I'm not a performer. I just write songs from time to time.
Are other songs as good as that one?
Yeah, are you really an A&R man? You just look more like a homeless man.
I've been out celebrating all week, and I just signed a band. We got carried away. That's some song you got there. I promise you it could be a big hit. Plus, you're beautiful.
Sorry, what's beauty got to do with anything?
You're tricky, aren't you?
And that was a clip from Begin Again. It's the new movie that stars Keira Knightley, who I'm delighted to say is on the programme this afternoon. Hello, Keira.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I don't think you've been on the show since The Duchess, I think.
That was a while ago.
It's 2008.
Yes.
I think. So I've just seen Begin Again. So just clear up the title. It was called something, but now it's definitely Begin Again.
It was called Can a Song Save Your Life?
That's quite a... It, good title.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't mind it, but when we tested the movie, it was universally hated by everybody. Yeah, the movie tested unbelievably well with, they do these test screenings at random places with a whole load of different people, and it went brilliantly for the film itself, but everybody universally hated that title.
Oh.
So
on the basis of the testing, they changed.
Yeah, maybe if everybody hates this title, we should change it to a title that people don't hate. And
okay.
For some reason, Begin Again they like.
So Begin Again is there, explain who you are and what the movie's about.
I play Greta, who is a singer-songwriter who suddenly finds that she thinks that she knows exactly where her life's going. She's in a very stable relationship, everything's brilliant, and suddenly it all completely falls apart. She doesn't know who she is, where she is, or what she's doing, and she has to stand up on her own two feet and do things for herself. So it's a story about friendship and making music.
And that making music, and it's got a lot to say about the music industry as well, which I think is very interesting. We'll come to Mark Ruffalo in just a moment. But the very first thing that we see in the movie is you on stage in a club we see James Corden, first of all, saying,
yes,
I've got my mate here, come up, and she's going to sing. So
it's
the very first thing that we see in the movie.
Yeah.
Thinking, okay, right, well, we're here straight away. Let's get into it. So you obviously saw that it was a role involving a singer-songwriter. So you obviously thought, okay, well, I have sung before in a movie, but clearly this is going to be slightly more important.
Yes, although I have to say that the script originally is completely different from the film that you see. And the actual music parts of it, it would sort of be like lots of dialogue scenes, very well-written dialogue scenes. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it, it would just say, and then she sings, and then lots of other dialogue scenes, and then she sings again. So it wasn't quite clear how much music or how exactly the music was going to fit into the whole film itself until we really got there. And I didn't get given any of the songs until about 2 days before we had to be in a studio to record them. So it was very much, the whole film was a very spontaneous act of not thinking about anything and just hitting the ground running.
Right, so are you saying that you didn't really know you were going to be a singer-songwriter?
No, I knew I was meant to, the character was a singer-songwriter, but as far as how much singing I was going to have to do in the film, I didn't know that.
And the film, because the film starts with you singing an entire song.
Yes, it didn't used to. It used to start with Mark's character, and then that actual whole piece wasn't in the original script that I read. It was something that John Carney devised.
He's the director.
He's the director, writer-director, as we were... I think we'd started shooting already, because that was actually one of the last things that we shot in the film. And sort of the way into that scene and how that was going to work was something that he devised very late on.
Were you all making it up as you went along?
Pretty much. Yes. No, there was a script. And then, again, 5 days before we started shooting in New York, John sort of came to me and went, I think we're going to chuck the script away and we'll just we'll improvise a lot. And I was like, okay.
Now, does that make you think, great, this could be fantastic, or does it terrify you?
It absolutely terrified me. It also was rather exhilarating. You know, it's the opposite of the way that I normally work, which is a lot of preparation, a lot of research. And I think, you know, we still did the preparation, the research. I'd learnt the whole of the original script off by heart, so I knew it very well. And we did absolutely use it as a template for the film. But there is a lot of improvised scenes, some of them around scenes that were already there, and sometimes we'd hit the script again, and then some of them are completely improvised on the spot.
So how far out of your comfort zone were you then?
I mean, as far out of my comfort zone as I could have been professionally.
Because you said, I think it was on the Graham Norton programme on television, you said that when you auditioned for Phantom, that this you finished and then this voice came out of the dark. Maybe it was Andrew Lloyd Webber saying...
Yeah, I don't think it was, but I'd like to think that it was because it makes the story better.
So you can't sing, but you clearly can.
Well, yes, but not... I mean, Andrew... what's it called? Phantom of the Opera is a very different sort of
voice. That's why you didn't get it.
That's why I couldn't even remember the name. It's a very different, it's very operatic and very high. And this one isn't, that's not what I've done in this film. You know, this is a much more kind of folky sort of singing, speaky type thing.
And are you actually singing around the different sites in New York?
Well, we did have to sing, but I think we pre-recorded everything, partly because we didn't have time to set it up and actually record it. And actually, because a lot of times we were just kind of in vans trying to jump out and use locations before anyone would notice as quickly as possible before we jumped back in the van again. So I think what you actually hear was recorded in the studio. But a lot of times, you know, it doesn't look right unless you are actually singing just to be miming. It doesn't. It looks like people are miming when they're doing it. So I was actually singing.
It's almost like the guerrilla. It looks like guerrilla filmmaking, and that's exactly what it was.
Yes, that is exactly what it was.
And Mark Ruffalo, who is terrific, as the A&R man, kind of washed up, boozed up, loved up. Well, no, not loved up. The opposite. The whole life is falling apart.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the movie, exactly the way John Peel used to talk about listening to music. He's driving along. There's a great scene at the beginning of the movie, and he's chucking stuff up. He's listening to a CD, hates it, throws it out the window.
Yeah.
Just terrific. And Mark Ruffalo, just explain what it was like working with him, because we mentioned Graham Norton. He famously went on Graham Norton and said that he had done 700 auditions before he actually got a role.
Wow. Did he count them?
700. It was like... the opening question, I thought that's inspiration for actors everywhere.
That absolutely is. I mean, I should imagine most actors, it would have been about that. You know, I mean, certainly we've all auditioned a million times and not got it. And then you're very fortunate when you do and when one hits. So, yes, but I'm 700 is such a
specific
number. Don't
you think most people would have given up? Well, it might have been 689.
Well,
roughly it was 7. But he's a terrific A&R man.
He's a terrific A&R man. He's a wonderful actor. I think he's really one of he's one of the actors. You know, he's I think would be in every single actor's top 10. He's so charismatic, and his performances are incredibly intelligent and relaxed, which is something that's nearly impossible to do. And he's like that as a person. You know, he's a fascinating, lovely man. So I was very lucky to be working with him. And equally, you know, what he's known for is American naturalism, which is something that I haven't really done. I've been doing much more stylized kind of pieces. And
just explain what American naturalism is.
It's exactly what it sounds like. I mean, I think it's what you see in this film. So it's a very naturalistic sort of, a lot of improvisation would be used. It's
making it up as you go along.
I mean, yeah, being creative on the spot and being comfortable in your own skin on camera. You know, a lot of English actors, they're character actors. They like to hide behind things. You know, they like using the lines, they like using costumes, they like using stuff. It's about getting away from yourself. Whereas a lot of American actors, it's much more about being comfortable in your own skin and being relaxed and being kind of being much closer to yourself on camera, which isn't something that most British actors are comfortable doing. And he's a complete master at that. You know, he's so relaxed and so free. And he was a real inspiration to work with for me, because I'd never worked in that style before. And it was wonderful to sort of bounce off him.
So it sounds as though John Carney, the director, he might be like an Irish equivalent of Mark Ruffalo, in as much as it sounds though maybe they were thinking along the same lines.
He's definitely not an Irish equivalent of Mark Ruffalo. No,
an Irish naturalist.
Yeah, maybe he is. I think he likes chaos. I think he works from chaos, and I mean that in the best way. But I think he likes not quite knowing, and he likes kind of putting people into situations where he doesn't know what the end result is necessarily going
to
be.
That sounds terrifying.
It was quite frightening, yes.
So he likes chaos.
Yes.
So was this quite a stressful film to make?
It wasn't. It was exhilarating. I think exhilarating.
It can be exhilarating. Often exhilarating and stressful goes together.
So they do sometimes, but stressful is always negative, whereas exhilarating can be quite fun.
So you take both together?
Yes, and hope that the exhilarating comes out more. You know, I mean, I think once you got into it, and again, this is a very low budget film, so we didn't really have time to get stressed. We didn't really have time to do anything but kind of keep running and keep thinking on our toes and find the story and try and find the characters and all of that. So there wasn't any rehearsal. There wasn't any, you know.
It's interesting because it doesn't feel like a low budget movie. And maybe, that, you know, Adam Levine is fantastic. He's really good. Not at one stage did I think, here's a rock star pretending to be an actor. He put in a great performance. And Greg Alexander's songs are terrific.
Yeah, no, they are. I think it was really, like when I first started talking to John about it, we all really wanted that character to be played by an actual musician because there's a confidence that you just can't fake. I mean, you've already mentioned about how Mark had gone through 700 or whatever auditions before he got one. That's a lot of rejection. You know, most actors have been through a lot of rejection. So that incredible confidence of a successful musician is really something that it's very difficult to fake. So, and I think the fact that he found Adam and Adam was willing to play a role like this, who isn't necessarily the nicest person in the entire world, was really impressive. And he is a complete natural. He's a natural entertainer.
Will you look for more chaos on your next movie?
Chaos can be fun. Order can be nice.
Keira Knightley, thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thanks a lot.
Keira Knightley talking about her new movie, Begin Again, which isn't quite as low budget as the way she would have you think. I mean, I don't think you go and see this movie and think, that was a bit low budget. You just think that was appropriately budgeted.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's bigger than before budget, I think, is what we call it.
And I think you could probably tell that actually she did find it, I mean, this is my interpretation of what she was saying, just a little bit too stressful.
A tad hairy.
And she would like it the more British way of a little bit of order and rather less of the American chaos. Thank you very much indeed. What did you think?
I really liked it. It's an interesting thing because obviously one of the things it does is essentially to revisit the central idea of wants, which is, you know, really, really sort of street level filmmaking, which is the story of a busker who then develops this relationship with a young woman via a Hoover repair, and they end up writing a song together. And of course, they ended up winning the Oscar for best song for Falling Slowly. And it's once is unbelievably charming and really spine tingling and touching. And as soon as you look at Begin Again and that story about, which of course originally was, as she said there, called, you know, Can a Song Save Your Life, is about two people sort of finding each other through the miracle of song and strumming and guitar. You know, we are revisiting themes here with a broader palette, with the New York setting, with a much more starry cast. You know, Keira Knightley, Mark Ruffalo, Catherine Keener, you know, various assorted rock stars. And so the natural tendency, I think, would be to look at it and go, okay, well, it's sort of like the mainstream version of Once, which to some extent it is. It's therefore very much to its credit that I found it as charming and as sweet and as moving and as affecting as it is. The thing that he manages to do is to take this sort of vaguely preposterous idea of, you know, taking Keira Knightley's singer-songwriter, taking her out into the streets of New York, recording her around, you know, with all the trash cans and the car engines and the honking and the sirens and, you know, recording up on the rooftop, and make you actually think whilst doing it, yeah, that's, you know, that's right. You are going to get a sort of street sound that, rather than thinking just do it in the studio and put all that stuff on afterwards. You discussed in that interview the thing about singing live and then afterwards re-recording. And I do have certain anxieties about the, in inverted commas, live performances because the sound is very produced. And that, of course, when you think about the beginning of Once, it was anything but produced. But the reason it works is because you like the characters. I mean, for a start, you know, it's been much quoted about how much in the past I was unkind about Keira Knightley's acting. I mean, I think Keira Knightley is a very fine actress now. I think if you look at things that she's done, if you look at Dangerous Method and you look at Anna Karenina, you look at The Duchess, I mean, I think she has really said there was clearly a point in her career when she decided that she wasn't just going to do the frivolous, she was going to take it seriously and she was going to do it properly. And she's, you know, she's put the hours in and she's come out the other end smiling because the fact of the matter is, that role in this film could go either way. And she manages to pull it off with an awful lot of, you know, an awful lot of front, an awful lot of face, manages to do that thing about, I believe that is somebody sitting there strumming a guitar, playing these songs in all these sort of unlikely settings. Mark Ruffalo is brilliant because Mark Ruffalo, it's almost like his name tells you what he is. He is Mark Ruffalo and he is very ruffled. That is what Mark Ruffalo does. And he's very good at it. And there's a wonderful thing at the beginning when you see the first song that she does and you hear her doing it is this sort of stumbling. I mean, not quite as stumbling as I would like it to be, but there's this sort of stumbling acoustic number in a club. And then we revisit that, time loops around. We come back to Mark Ruffalo seeing the song again. And as he's hearing it, he hears the, in inverted commas, orchestrations in his head. And he starts sort of arranging and it starts becoming something else. You suddenly cut to him hearing this other song, which is is the moment just before we got to that clip when he says, OK, I'm in, this is what we're going to do. There's also a fairy tale element to it, which is that he's the washed up record producer who essentially wants to get his claws into her because he thinks, you know, I can make her into the new star. But in fact, what she wants is not to do that. What she wants is all those sort of indie credential, edgy stuff. No, I'd like to record the songs, and I'm not really very interested in the record business, and I'm not interested in being sold as some prepackaged product, which is the age old story, incidentally, of all rock movies. But they manage to make it sound fresh and new. And the reason they do that is because the characters themselves are drawn well enough that even when they're doing stuff that you've seen before and that you've heard before and you understand the trajectory of it, it doesn't matter because you believe in the characters, because the incidental details, Hayley Steinfeld and Catherine Keener as the sort of disrupted family around Mark Ruffalo. The fact that, I mean, there are moments of great humour in it as well, because John Carney is a director who's got an eye for the absurd. The moment when he's being fired from the record company and he says, I'm taking my paintings, and then he attempts to take his paintings off the wall, is laugh out loud funny, but also it's kind of tragic. On the downside, I don't think the songs are quite on the same level as the music for Once, which was so... I mean, that was why, you know, Once winning the Oscar was such a big deal. And there, as I said, there is an element that you've kind of seen John Carney tell this story in one way, and now he's telling it in another way. But I was genuinely charmed. I smiled all the way through it. I was moved by it. I thought Keira Knightley was really good. I thought Mark Ruffalo was in top form. I enjoyed it enormously.